You're listening to Kiwi Roots Rugby Podcast. Let's go!
All right, fam. Welcome back to another episode of Kiwi Roots Rugby. Tonight, we got a special episode for you guys as we get to rip into the epic weekend that was the quarterfinal round. There was controversy. There were tries aplenty. But unfortunately, there are also some teams that were sent home. There's so much to get into. I could talk about this all night, Scotty, so you're going to have to contain me. But before we get into our beginning segments, maybe just a sentence or two around your initial reaction to perhaps what was a record-setting weekend of rugby.
I think it's fair to say, Felix, that it was probably one of the greatest weekends of rugby for a long time. We had two fantastic games. Well, let's say four, but two that were probably greater than the others. Obviously, Ireland, New Zealand going toe-to-toe in France and South Africa. But just, obviously, we're New Zealand fans, we're All Blacks fans. And I don't know about you, Felix, but I don't think I've ever been more proud to be a Kiwi. Like, usually I'm pretty reserved watching rugby because I'm here by myself, for my girls are up watching it with me, or they've been watching the World Cup with me. But man, we were jumping up and down, high-fiving, and there's just like a flood of emotion that comes over you, when you're watching it, especially when you're watching some of the social media videos coming out of families and friends and everybody just jumping up and down. Like, I really feel like New Zealand, all 5 million of us, were behind the All Blacks on the weekend, and they played like a team that we've been waiting for such a long time. And thank goodness they are peaking at the right time. So, what a weekend, Felix. Go the All Blacks. Let's get it. Semi-finals.
And you know what? That's the perfect amount of confidence. Not overconfidence like we've seen from certain fans from certain countries who've perhaps gone a bit too overboard, and now they're on a plane ride back home, or they probably should have arrived by now. But I think it's so interesting. Just quickly comparing the narratives you'd probably hear from your peers versus the somewhat slightly toxic comments that you may read online, and just how they both affect you differently, and perhaps what you may be expecting from a game that you otherwise never would have thought about. I just want to just quickly touch on this one point, and I don't know if this is part of your segments, but before we get into percentage of truth, can I ask you just quickly, what did you make of Rico Ioane's little verbal war with Johnny Sexton straight after the final whistle?
You know what? I wouldn't be one to be like that, but as a fan, I like that because I like that killer instinct that we've been missing.
Yeah,
I reckon, amongst this team. Like, I know Rico has always been there, but we haven't seen him stir the pot. And in our chat group, they made a great point. Ireland were quick to dish it out last year. You know, when they were the dominant side here in New Zealand, they had a record-breaking, winning their first ever series on New Zealand soil.
Yeah.
And you know, there was plenty of comments being dished out. Did we react? No, we didn't. And then all of a sudden, we reacted in a way that meant far more than just words being thrown across, you know, a rugby pitch. We beat them where it mattered. And then we just rubbed extra salt into the wound. So I like that, the mind games, you know, that plays into professional footy. It gives that extra percentage or advantage over the other team. And let's hope that, who we got next? Argentina, you know, they see what's coming, man. This is a different All Blacks side. They've flicked the switch finally.
Finally. Okay.
Finally, they better watch out because we're not the Mr. Nice Guys anymore.
Yeah, and it's such a good way to end there. I think the real All Blacks have finally shown up, and all the experimentation, all the rotation, the coaching changes, personnel changes, strategy, all of it has come down to this point. And my, oh my, only two more games before we can lift the much-wanted Webb Ellis Cup. But before we get into that, Scotty, we've got some segments to get into. And I want to rip into our most popular segment. That is Percentage of Truth.
Percentage of truth.
I'm going to spoil you. Normally, right. I have about five statements. I'll see how you're going with the first five. And then I'll the sixth one if you're doing well. So, are you ready? Percentage of truth. Ding, ding, ding. Round one. Fight. Okay. Following the exits of the top two Northern Hemisphere teams last weekend, one of either Ireland or France will win 2027 in Australia. See?
Ooh.
Now they've got that chip on the shoulder that All Blacks had going into this one.
Yes, yes.
Is this going to be a bit of a cycle?
Oh, that's a really tough one because they both lost in some pretty tight affairs. Let's be honest, both teams will be talking about the ref in some way, shape, or form and how it was unfair. Okay, so you want me to pick a team?
No, I'm just saying either one of them.
One of them.
So I'm actually giving you two options.
You have. Okay. All right.
What's the percent of them actually winning?
Maybe a 60%
chance. 60% chance. Okay. That's
two teams.
Yeah. I mean, not quite, you know, like firing out the blocks, but you know, it's not quite stuttering either. So nice sort of middle ground there. But let me hit you with the second one. I think this may stir something within you. And I'm going right back to that Ireland v All Blacks quarterfinal. How true is this statement? Ireland lost the quarterfinal. New Zealand didn't win it.
Oh, damn. Nah, man. I'd say like that's 0%.
0%.
Come on, bro. If you watch it very closely, All Blacks tactically played that fantastically. Now, if you go back to our last week's pod, what did I say on how they need to beat the All Blacks? What do they need to shut down? The ball going out wide. And what did they do? Yeah. Did you not see Rico closing that gap and doing that umbrella defense and rushing up and shutting that ball down? He was doing that all game. Or we were holding it in the ruck and slowing it down and getting us penalties with Sam Kane and Adi Savea getting in there and Whitelock. You know, we played the perfect game. We took points when they were on offer. Ireland were bots and they tried to go for the corner when they should have gone for the three in a do or die match. They screwed up the line out. Only one of two line outs that they lost in their whole game, but two crucial line outs, I would say.
Now there's the Scotty I was looking for.
Felix. Man. Get out of here, Felix.
You're shut down. Like right down.
You put that back in the box, man. Get out of here.
Well done. Oh, some great answers. And I like the shout about Rico Ioane's defense, which probably doesn't get enough credit.
excuse me. That was probably the one time he actually did well. Defensively, normally we're dogging him for his defense, but he did his role. He did it well, even so well that he didn't get subbed off when Anton Leonard-Brown came on.
Yeah, that is why I don't pick him in my fantasy team. Just on a side note, I was like, I seen Anton Leonard-Brown on the bench there, and I was like, he ain't getting 80 minutes. I'm not gonna invest 10 credits in you, mate. So there you go. Wow. Okay.
Great start.
Let's go back to another team that lost in the quarterfinals.
Right.
I reckon France are going to be one of those teams where the quarterfinal loss psychologically is so, so big. They don't recover and they go back to being a mid team. What are the chances?
Oh, man. No, I don't think so, eh? I think they remain one of the top teams for sure. I'd say so you're saying they're going to become a crappy team after this World Cup. So the chances of that happening is very low. So I'll give that like a 10% chance. Like
Okay.
They got a young squad. They're missing their key player in Ntamack at number 10 there. DuPont was injured, but he's young. What is he, like late
20s? Yeah, 26. So he'll be 26. In his prime the next one.
Right. They're not going anywhere. Rugby's just one of those games where it's, as that cliche statement, game of inches, or, you know, and it's the best man on the day. And that's literally what we saw on the weekend with those two particular games. The best team on the day won. Yeah. It was the finest of margins.
Talking about fine margins. Old Cheslin Colby crosses over and charges down that conversion, which proved to be vital.
Yes.
In that 1-point victory against France. Does he, this weekend against England, do it all over again?
Ooh, possibly. I'm trying to think about Owen Farrell's kick routine. Yeah, visualization to the max. But he's like lopsided with his traps on his neck. It's like massive on the left side. You know what? It probably could happen. Cheslin Colby, he's a big time ball player. You know, like I would say he's okay when it comes to like rugby championship or anything like that. But when it's these big stages where it's all coming down to these big moments and these big games, and it's like career defining moments.
Yeah.
Cheslin Colby is one of those guys, just like RD, who step up and just give it like everything, like the epitome of like effort with a capital E and attitude. Like, man, if you want to teach your kids to follow someone, like, and show them what effort looks like watch Cheslin Colby. So yeah, I reckon there's like a 75%, no, there'd be 100% chance that he's going to try.
No, he'll do it. Successfully charged down.
Right, I'm going to call it, Felix. I'm going to throw myself out there. I'm going to say yes.
He's got to do it.
He's going to do it. You watch the space.
Oh.
Although England had to score first, so maybe I should drop it down 80. 80% then. 80%. It's going to happen.
Oh, that's such a good shot. Right. Oh, man.
Backing up quickly.
So, no. Well, the 80% actually makes sense. So, and I'm gonna stick with that game, actually, because last weekend wasn't without some 50-50 calls, let's call it. Mr. Ben O'Keefe issues the first red card of the knockout stages in this game. I'm saying he's going to.
Oh, okay.
Africa v. And he's doing the England South Africa semi. What are
England
the chances?
V. South Africa.
Someone's going to make a real cynical player because they're under pressure. And he's got a short fuse, Mr. O'Keefe. He doesn't like being talked back to. Going to escalate this yellow to a red. What are the chances?
He's very analytical as well, and he has a very good process when it comes to reviewing these big plays that could change a match. And I'd say he's made his mistakes in the past, but if you listen to him speak on a lot of podcasts, he talks a lot about continuous improvement and working on his process and understanding where he goes wrong and how he can improve. So, I mean, he wouldn't get these kind of games if he didn't improve in the right areas. So I'm going to say there's probably like a 30% chance. Yeah. 30%? Of that happening.
Ooh, okay.
It could happen because I can imagine the contest will be so fierce and intense that somebody's going to have a brain explosion, or like you talked about, fatigue is going to settle in. You know, one of the props or one of the tight five is going to get caught not bending their legs and, you know, tackling properly and hitting shoulder straight into a head.
Yeah.
Or maybe a lot of high balls are going up, especially with South Africa. Maybe they put up a lot of high balls and someone takes somebody out and lands on their head. It'd be something along those lines where it's undeniable.
Yeah.
See you later, alligator. Oh, a 30% chance.
Oh, okay. I don't like it either. I want to see a 15-on-15 game, but look, these accidents happen sometimes, so fingers crossed your 30% doesn't come to fruition. All right, since you're on a bit of a hot streak, I'll throw you this curveball.
Hit me.
Slightly controversial, and we're going back to Ireland and France.
Yeah.
Because they're such a hot topic. I mean, they've been playing amazing rugby, and it almost feels wrong that they're out this early. Hey, like, I feel a little bit cheated by that two heavyweights of world rugby aren't in the semi-final.
Yeah.
But leading into the World Cup, there was so much chat about both those teams. Both of the public sphere, mainstream media, and then on social media, online, TikTok, Instagram, the works. The people on the grassroots were just as vocal. Or I would say they're probably borderline arrogant. And then their teams fizzle out in the quarterfinals. Were those two teams just complete build-ups? Did they get high off their own supply? They trip over right before the finish line. They couldn't get the job done.
Yeah. Okay. I'd say there's probably I actually rate the two teams quite differently, I think. So from an Irish point of view, I actually think they were legit contenders. You know, to go 17 games straight in a row, they certainly look like the form team. You know, when they got into big matches, they put their best squad on and they performed. They weren't plagued by any major injuries to key positions as well, minus Sexton was injured for a bit and he returned for the World Cup. Am I wrong there? So I would say they were proper contenders, and, you know, fair enough that people were talking about them going on to potentially win. So I'd give that it was probably like an 80% chance, or is that what, 80% like truth to that statement being true? Is that what you're saying?
They were building them up and there was no legitimacy to the hype.
Oh, okay. So the opposite way. So 20% chance, 20%. I agree for Ireland, but for France, yeah, I would say that's much higher. Like a 65%, 70%. You know, like, they produced some mixed performances, but they lost a series to Australia like the year before. That they lose to one of the, it was a, not Georgia. They've had some pretty tight games with some minnow teams that you would expect for them to beat if they're going to be one to win. Do you know what I mean? Like, when these tier one nations come up to weaker sides, they should clearly dominate. And I don't think we saw that from them. Yes, they had Antoine Dupont, World Rugby Player of the Year, playing out of his skin for both club and for his country. You had Intermark probably at the time for the majority of the conversation until he got injured as well. And every country that's won it has had a great 9 and 10, you know, through the ages. So, you know, they were looking like a team that could win it, but if you base it off their results, yeah, I'd say there's 60-70% of that is true. It's just because it was a home World Cup final, man. You got to sell it. It's all marketing. It's like boxing. You got to sell it.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Good point. Oh, man. Not a bad outing, Scotty. Some really good points. I don't think I could have summarize those points as clear and concise as you did. So yeah, good stuff.
I'll take it.
Yeah, you're on fire, mate. But I think, you know, let's leave the real world side for a moment and go back to fantasy land, where things just keep getting spicier and spicier. Excuse me. Ooh, I'm not feeling too well, folks, so please bear with me. There's been some movement.
There's been some movement.
Woo, woo, woo!
I can just play a sound if you want.
No, I want to introduce my own, you know?
Do it your way. Okay, you do it your way. You do it your way.
Because, I finally cracked the top five after some grinding weeks. It wasn't a fluke my last time round I was here, so that's me backing it up. So the top five of last round, fantasy round, eat these, coming in at fifth spot. Ow. Surge just beating me by 4 points. He takes out fourth spot. Yeah, pretty close. And Windrew is there in third. Ray Hunter, he seems like he loves the second spot, eh?
Is that Ray Hunter? I didn't realize that was him.
Yeah, Power Rangers at second, and Friendly 1080 is our top earner from last week. I don't know who he is, but he's got a pretty stacked team. So, Scotty, I just want to get some thoughts, actually.
Yeah.
Some highs and lows of the very first round of Knockout Fantasy Rugby. What are some takeaways that you got from it? And I'll follow you after that. Would you like me to lead?
No, it's okay. So you want me to talk about from round one versus to now, round six?
No, just
For the round. Yeah.
The round, yeah.
Oh,
obviously, yeah, having extra players from the nations and a little bit extra credit. How did you find?
You know, it was really tough because I think during all the pool plays, I was trying to identify the blowout game, or the game where all the points are going to score, and I'd stack it up. But this week it was really challenging because if you look at all the matchups, they're quite even. There wasn't one team that was far better than the other. So, you know, you really had to, in some cases, take a bit of a punt, you know, or you had to really look at or dig deep into to what you know and what players you know and how they perform in big moments. So straight away, some of my first selections were Lester Fanganuku, who I talked about him in the pod last week, chucked him as my captain and scored me 76 points, which I was quite happy with, you know, because I didn't expect much more from the other teams. And it was even more sweeter when he dotted over for the second or the first try. First try for the All Blacks at the corner. Adi Savere, man, how does he do it, eh? Like, he is like an absolute weapon, man.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that moment where he was trying to get the turnover. And they
right at the end, though.
Just been all over social media of him like swearing at the refs, like on the ground, like like a little, like a baby, eh? Like, who didn't get his toys or something.
It's the first time you've ever seen him angry. That's crazy, eh?
Yeah. But fair call, man. It's like a big play, big moment. So I found my New Zealand players really easy to select. I straight away went for some French players.
Yep.
I just knew there'd be a few that would pull out. So I did Thomas Ramos, and because I kind of anticipated a tight affair, and I thought, you know what, knockout footy, people are going to be kicking goals.
Yeah, nice.
So I chucked him as my super kicker as well. I'd use my booster.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But I didn't realize that you not only do double points, but if he misses, you lose double points.
Yeah.
And so he kind of cancelled out his own points because I think he missed a couple. So that was quite disappointing. Plus, when Cheslin charged him down, I was like stoked, but like not stoked, you know? I was like, bro, what are you up to? It's my kicker, man. My kicker dog. Damien Pinot, I said that I would select him in the pod. So I was like, I got to select him. Okay, but look, my worst pick. All right, I'm going to go because I'll leave the rest for you to talk about. Was Marcus Smith. Now, this was such a brain explosion. I don't know what I was thinking. I saw he was playing fullback, and I was like, oh, yeah, cool. I get another outside back. Yeah, let's get it. Not thinking, oh, wait, he's playing the Fijians, who are like three times his size.
Got that, like, busted lip.
Yeah, did you see that photo? with the bandage on his head, eh?
Bro, before and after, that was cracker.
Bruh. Yeah, man. Oh, I was pissing myself laughing. So, because I was gutted, man, because I kept trying to get Owen Farrell in there.
Yeah.
But I couldn't get him in there without, like, making, like, three other changes.
Yes,
all it was one coin. I was like trying to free up one coin, but I just couldn't do it. So I was just like, oh, bugger it, I'll go for Marcus Smith. And then I was like, envisioning him having like this epic game where he'd like, set up tries and stuff. But it didn't happen. Clearly, it didn't happen. Yeah. So yeah, it was quite a tough week, but I'm going to learn my lessons this week, mate. I'm going to learn my lessons, and I'm going to try and really look at the games from the quarterfinals and try and pick some weak spots from other teams, and trying to anticipate where teams might attack, which might dictate who I select, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. That's a smart way to do it. Yeah.
I'll give you actually one that I heard on the Aotearoa Rugby Pod. They talked about England. They only used four forwards for all their running. It was like Ben Earl, Courtney Laws, Mauro Itoje, and the prop, Ellis Genge.
Yeah.
Like, it's like bits of information like that. You know, like, so clearly don't select any of their forwards because they're not going to run the ball. There's no potential to score tries. So I'm really going to try and take like a statistical approach versus like, once I get stuck, I just start looking at like who's averaging the most points and just chuck them in.
Yeah.
That's a lazy way to do it.
Really, yeah, really good points is there, Scott. I think one of the things I really noticed, the difference between pool stages and knockout stages the people who are sort of like two-way players who are both offensively gifted and defensively gifted, your Ardy Saviers of the world, and some of the other loose forwards like Ben Earl you mentioned from England, some of Bovaka. The Lucy's. And some of the Lucy's from Fiji. If you score yourself a try, you get your stint. Well, I mean, once upon a time, 10 tackles was massive, but so many of these Lucy's are doing that regularly.
Yeah,
Sam Kane gets 22. Yeah. Ari got 15, and he's still out there on the edge scoring tries. You know what I mean?
Crazy, yeah.
Two turnovers to add with that, and I'm just thinking, whoa. I think this is the first week where we've seen a position outscore finally the outside backs, which has been traditionally the money makers of your team. So that was the first big realization was, man, if your guys can work both sides of the ball, those are going to be some fantasy studs. And that's going to be my philosophy heading into this week. You go.
I was just going to say, that's an interesting statement you make about the shift in where the points are going to be scored in the latter end of this World Cup.
Heavily
been outside backs, and I think we would just talk about that from round one right through to round five about how you need to select your outside backs. But now it's your hookers going back to your hookers and your Lucy's.
And
remember, on the edges or the drive mall or whatever,
And we talked about the overinflated price of hookers at the beginning of the fantasy thing. It's like, no way am I going to fork out 9 credits for a Cody Taylor when Will Jordan is 8. Do you know what I mean? Like, now,
here we go.
Mavaka was the highest point scorer with 83 points, man.
Damn, when I saw him scoring tries, I was like, "Woo, I got this, boys." And I went into, you know how you can go into the league and you can check other people's teams?
Yeah.
And I was like, ha, I bet you that no one else picked them. And bro, like, everyone's got them. I'm like, oh,
bro, I haven't dropped them since like week 2.
Really? Oh, yeah. Damn. Great choice. Yeah, I was like, has anyone been watching him? I'm pretty sure I'm the only one. And then, I was like, Mavaka.
Because he carved up, remember, in that first game against New Zealand when he came on as a sub, and I was like, that's a fluke.
Yeah,
I'll give him one more week to prove himself. He does it again. I was like, nah, I'm riding this guy the whole way through. And so jumped up.
I must admit, the top probably 7 or 8 in our league, you know, we've probably got like at least 10 players that are very similar.
Yeah.
That's the difference of the 5 and where you set your boosters and captain, that's the difference.
Yeah. I I felt that statement about trying to squeeze in Owen Farrell because he was originally my first five.
Okay.
But I could only afford him if I had a cheap halfback. So I picked BG's Frank Lomani. And I was like, I rate Owen Farrell in this matchup, but I don't rate Frank Lomani.
Yes.
So I dropped them both. I picked up Antoine Dupont because I knew he was going to have a big game.
Great choice. And
bro, he was amazing. But then I couldn't afford any decent first fives.
Oh, right.
So I had to choose one that was like 9 points, 9 credits. Yeah.
What are your thoughts about this statement? Do you think we're at this point now, we need to sacrifice our props and even maybe our locks to try and stack our hooker, back row, and our backs?
Right, that's another position. I picked Cyril Bailly in my original. Bro, I picked him and then I dropped
Happy
him.
For days.
Bro, I picked him and then I dropped him last minute as well.
I
dropped him. I dropped
the gun.
Oh, yeah. Because I was thinking back to that TikTok that I made last year. I was like, bro, Andrew Porter was mean against New Zealand last year. He's got a try and some running yards behind him. I had no idea Cyril Bailly was going to score 2 tries.
I mean, obviously no one would, but man, that would have certainly moved you up the ladder, wouldn't it?
Yeah, man.
Because where are you now? Bro, that's like 30 points. You would have been third at least.
Yeah, so two big moves there. I dropped Cyril Bailly, but I think the Owen Farrell DuPont swap cancels each other out because they both scored over 50 points.
Yeah.
And Frank Lomani and my other first five both had duds.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, you can't always get it all.
Hindsight. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing, eh? You know?
But, yeah, those are some of the big learnings that I'm taking out of fantasy. So, with all that being said, I'll give you our current standings from the top three. So, I'll start off with Jars 02. He's been pretty solid in amongst the top five constantly. Our mate Rehana is there at second spot, Power Rangers. 10 points for originality for that name, Ray. Good on you, mate. And Jonesy, well ahead. Oh, Ray's cutting that lead, kind of, is there at number one. So 2 more weeks left, guys, to make a move. Is there someone with another 1,000-point round in there? Who knows? It's happened once before. It could happen again.
Well, before we go, Felix, give us one pick that you're 100% selecting this weekend.
I actually haven't thought about it, but I've already made my team, so I'll give you...
Have you? Oh, wow. Okay, I haven't gone that far yet.
Oh, 100% picking Adi Savio. Just... Not even thinking twice about that one.
Wow.
he's got to. He can do it all, and he's proven why he's if he continues on like this, he's going to win World Player of the Year.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, bro, definitely. Okay. I'm going to stick to my guns here, and I'm going to say I'm 100% selecting Jordy Barrett in the centres.
Ooh!
I picked him last week. He's another big time player. Remember last year? Maybe not last year. 2 years ago, in the 100th test against South Africa, the 100th game.
Yeah.
And he kicked that clutch penalty.
Yep.
From like 50 meters out, like near the sideline. It was next level.
Yeah.
And he's showing that kind of performance now. So
how cool is it? Richie Mwanga does the little chip sort of conversions.
Yeah.
And all those line drives, like 50 plus, we've got Jordy Barrett to do. So it's not a bad pick at 8 credits, and he's got kicking versatility alongside game-breaking running ability. So I like that shout, man.
It's going to be tough to score points in the centers this week. So perhaps because he's so versatile, he's not just ball runner. He's my man. But there you go. Ooh. Are you Team Scotty or Team Felix? No. Are we doing this, Felix? I was trying to cause that chaos last week. Yeah,
yeah, I reckon. Are you trying to get me off my game while you set up the new segment? So I got no answers for you.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, are we jumping on to my next one? It's all me here, isn't it? We're moving away from fantasy?
I think it's a good idea. Yeah.
All right. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's on me now. I've got a new segment. It's nothing outstandingly crazy. It's just a quick quiz. So I've called it my quick ball rugby quiz. Felix, are you ready for the quick ball rugby quiz?
I am so ready for this quiz. Let's go.
Yeah, good man. Okay, I got five questions, and I was really gutted that we didn't have our guest on with us tonight because I was going to get you to use your names as buzzers and do a little game show, but it's just you. So this is really Felix. A test. Yeah, this is really just a test of your knowledge, your rugby history. Okay. All right, it's all Rugby World Cup related. Here we go. Question number one. Which team has been to three finals and won zero of them?
Felix.
Oh, Felix. Yes.
France.
France. Nice. Yes, France is correct. And for extra points, do you know the years?
Ooh. Wasn't it the very first one?
Yes.
Yeah. 2011 at home.
Oh, yeah. One more.
Crap. And was it... Crap. Why am I inclined to say 2007?
Because that's wrong.
No, that's wrong. That was South Africa, England, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it wasn't then. So in the 90s even? I don't think so.
I'm not going to give anything away. I'm going to stay silent in the background because this is for World Club Cup glory.
Yeah.
Quiz glory. The Quiz World Cup glory.
Crap, I can't figure it out.
All right, take a guess in 3, 2, 1.
Early 90s. Well, one of those ones.
Give me a year. 91 or 95?
Yeah, I know. Oh, it wasn't 95, South Africa. So 91.
That's wrong. That's wrong. It's 99.
Ah!
Took you for a ride there. All right, you only get 1 point for that one. Okay, question number two. There are 10 countries that have been at every Rugby World Cup since 1987. Can you name them all?
You know, just quickly, that 1999 World Cup is the one I always forget about.
Oh, yeah?
Was it like the least faithful? I don't know. Like,
who won that? Like Australia or something? Or South Africa?
Was it like the most boring one?
South Africa won 95. New Zealand won 87. And who won 91?
Australia.
Yeah. So Australia must have won 99.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
And then 2003 was
England.
Yep. And then 2007 was All Blacks.
No.
South Africa. That was
France, quarterfinal.
No, what? Oh, who won that one then? South Africa.
Yeah, South Africa.
Okay. And then 11 was New Zealand.
New Zealand.
15 New Zealand. 19 South Africa. And then 23. Here we are.
New Zealand.
I feel it. Snap. So do you know the 10 teams that have been in every World Cup?
I'm going to take a stab. Go to them.
Yep.
Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, England, France. Oh, I'm running out of... Who would have been in the beginning? England, France. 10, did you say?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Here we go, Felix. You can do it, mate. You've got 5. You've got New Zealand, England, France. Did you say Australia?
Yeah.
And you said South Africa.
I don't want to add like Ireland and Scotland, something, and Wales. Something's telling me that they haven't been there the whole time.
Now keep going. That's good, Felix.
Ireland, Scotland, Wales.
I'm winking.
Oh, okay.
You've actually got one wrong already, but I'll tell you at the end.
You've got
10 seconds to rattle off 3 more. One.
Namibia.
Yeah, fair enough. Like,
and Georgia.
Not even now. This one might surprise you, but South Africa is not on this list.
Oh, that's right, because of the apartheid thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that was 91.
Right. Yeah. How could I forget?
Yeah. So, unfortunately, Felix, you don't get the points for that, but I will tell you which 10 teams have been to everyone. So, you got New Zealand, Australia, England, France, Scotland, Ireland, Wales. Italy, Japan, and Argentina.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Wow.
So those 10 teams have been to every World Cup. All right, question number three. Which two players hold the record for most tries in a Rugby World Cup with 15? They are 15 equal.
Brian Habana.
Oh, that's one, yes.
Jeez. Lomu?
Oh, mate, you nailed it. Lomu.
Yeah, of course.
Lomu! Oh, Lomu!
I was like, his career was such a short kind of blip.
Hey, he didn't need much time, mate.
Yeah, well, that's why I was unsure about it.
Yeah.
15, okay.
Yeah, cool. Joan Lomu and Brian Habana. Side question, which I just saw in my research. There's one other player that shares, I think it's, hold on, what is it?
Most tries in a World Cup.
Oh, that's in Rugby World Cups combined. But they share the record with one other player for most tries in a single World Cup with 8.
8. Oh, man, it's got to be Julian Savier.
Oh, bro, how do you know that?
Everyone knows that 15 year was all him.
Oh, man. So sad that he was right there and then he just went, fell off the radar.
It's a different breed.
Poor guy.
Staying at the top.
That's right. It is hard to get there, but it's even harder to stay there. Okay. Which two players hold the record for most appearances in a World Cup? Most appearances.
Richie McCaw.
Yeah, that's one. I don't know if you'll get this next one.
Jeez, it would be like someone from England or Ireland or Wales.
Yep, you're hot.
Is it? Don't tell me it's the bloody... Is it either Johnny Sexton or... Alan Wynne-Jones from Wales.
Nah, none of those. Alan Wynne-Jones came close. He's on 21 games. These guys are both on 22 games.
Oh!
Because he retired before this World Cup, he doesn't get the spoils.
Damn.
He's not the Tui, what do you call it? Tui fact. Anyway, it's Jason Leonard. Do you remember him?
No.
Yeah, neither do I. <That's the one. laughs> I was hoping you did. I think he's an English player.
Next.
Next one. Okay. Why is the trophy named after Webb Ellis?
I don't know. He did outstanding services to rugby back in the day. I have absolutely no idea.
Oh, geez, I'm not very good at opening my beers. Bro, he's credited for inventing the game of rugby in 1823.
So there you go. Sick of playing soccer and picked it up and started bashing guys over.
Well, it probably was something as simple as that. You're right. Yeah.
Oh, cricket.
Or maybe he was no good at playing like American football or I don't know. Is Webb Ellis a Kiwi? Wouldn't even have a clue actually. Google, mate.
Nah, it's got to be English because that's where it was.
Yeah, you're right. It wasn't English, Anglican, clergyman. What's a clergyman? Who by tradition has been credited as the inventor of rugby. I must say, he doesn't look like a fierce rugby player. Just looking at him, I'd smoke him. William Webb Ellis. Cool. Hey, look, that wraps up Scotty's Quickball Rugby Quiz. So there you go. I hope you learned a thing or two And then next week, I'll bring something even more exciting.
I reckon I did all right. Like, what was my overall score at 10?
So you got 1 plus 2 for the extra. No, you didn't get. You got 1, 2. Yeah, 2.5. You got 2.5 out of 5 potential points.
It's 50%. I'll take it. Let's go.
That's not bad. That's not bad, Felix. I don't think I'll be betting on you on the TAB, but hey, not bad.
That's all right.
All right. Next over one. To you, Felix. Back to you, mate.
I'll do the next one. Wait, no.
Travis Ford, where are we going? What?
I thought we've got another Scotty special.
Oh, we do. Do we? Oh, yeah, we do. Hey, it's back on me.
Yeah, because, you know, that was the warm-up. Now I'm warmed up. We're going to smash this one out the park.
All right, here we go. Okay, for those of you who have been listening, we are now going on to If Not Him, Then Who? I explained this one last week, and what I do is I will find a player and a certain scenario. I'll pose it to Felix, and we'll look to try and switch that player out. And I'll ask the question, if not him, well, then who?
Then who?
Felix, are you ready? Let's do it.
Let's go.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Statement number one. You already talked about this. Chesney Colby. Okay.
Yeah.
And his he's the man. Charge down.
And he's going to score 3 tries. No, okay. I'll stop.
No. Okay. But let's say Chesney's not there. If it's not him from South Africa, then who?
Well, we know Kutli Aronza is going to be on the other wing. And Makazole Mapimpi is out when he got injured when he was my captain. Bloody hell, in week 3. So what I reckon they'll do is they'll turn to the services of their young inside center, Kanan Moody. They've already experimented with him earlier in the year. Yep. Carved up the All Blacks early in the year. He'll do it again if need be. This guy is the future of South African rugby. A little bit like when Julian and Rico Ioane first hit the scene and they're still in their early 20s and they're just carving up. Kanan Moody, man, he should definitely get a look in. Surely.
Surely. All right, so you're saying Kanan Moody. There you go. Watch this space. Kanan Moody is your guy. Okay, statement number two. Jordy Barrett, big try-saving moment. In hindsight, let's be honest, was pretty pivotal to the win. But hey, that kind of play can only be done by few. So if not Jordy, then who from the All Blacks are you expecting to do that?
Look, I can't go past our two massive Lucys and captain and vice captain Sam Kane and Adi Savia. When one of them is going to do it, the other person is going to be there to assist them. They're that sort of in sync with each other at the breakdown. So they're going to assist each other in holding up a sure try like that.
Wow. So you're saying two people need to do what Geordie's done.
I think Adi was close to that one as well. He's just, the guy's everywhere. If I have to pick one, I'll go with Adi.
Yeah, I like that point. You're talking about those two though. It seems like they've kind of got over that. I'm seven. And now they're just working together, and they realize how much impact they can have with both of them being out there playing their game.
Yeah, hard out.
Man, Sam Kane had. I'm gonna stop right there because I just saw his name on my list. We're gonna talk about him soon, but man, what a game he had. All right. I already talked about England's Marcus Smith letting me down. Very underwhelming performance at fullback. All right. He looked like he couldn't keep up physically, and it was a very poor choice by their coach, Steve Borthwick. Borthwick. So, what do you reckon? If not Marcus Smith, then who should they have played, do you think, at fullback?
Well, I don't know what happened to their first choice fullback and Freddie Stewart. I don't think he's injured. But
you
if
know
he's
what I'm doing. Freddie Stewart. I'm going to Google. Freddie Stewart, where is he?
Is he injured?
Where is the guy? Where is he? Billy Stewart, not the actor. Latest news, breaking stories. Freddie Stewart, no. It's a good... Ah, bro, I don't even know.
Yeah, well, it should have been him. I don't get it.
So what do you think they were going for?
Speed, it looks like. Speed and tactical kicking that Freddie Stewart doesn't offer. But
Yeah,
I don't get it. He's built way like Jordy Barrett is, and having a sort of a goalkeeper type of fullback like that would have helped a lot against Fiji, I would have thought.
Yeah. That's quite like, that's almost similar to New Zealand putting like McKenzie back their fullback here.
Yeah. It's like pretty much.
Very good on attack. Yeah. Quick on his feet, can kick. Obviously plays like a first five because there is a first five. But defensively, it's definitely an area where you would pinpoint.
Yeah.
And it looks like he got beaten up for sure. I think he's like one of the worst tacklers in their team. For the weekend. All righty. Freddie Stewart, please, for England's sake, come back. Come back to us, man. Come back. All right, two more. Sam Kane. I just talked about him. The game of his career. One that you would definitely be proud to talk to your grandchildren about. And I'm sure over the next couple of years, that performance will be talked about in many pubs across New Zealand. Okay, but... He certainly helped smother out the physical presence of the Irish. But let's say he's still injured because, you know, let's be honest, he's often injured.
Yeah.
So then who would you replace him with?
Ooh.
I've got one in my head, but I want to see if we're aligned, Felix.
Wow. That's so hard.
Well, let's think about his performance. All he did was just hit people as hard as he could in the weekend. But he tackled like I'm just having flashbacks of myself and under 15s like smoking people.
Like. Under 15? Only because you were a unit. Jeez. Unfair.
Doesn't matter. That's minor detail.
Tackles all day. I've got a personal favorite, but he's not in the All Black setup.
Wait. Should we say it on three? See if we're aligned. We'll just say the last name, eh?
Okay.
Okay, so we're gonna go 1, 2, 3, name, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3, Blackadder. Okay, we're not aligned, clearly.
No, I thought about Blackadder too, but Blackadder's in the center. He's there.
He's got to be in the squad. Not Kadifi. He's not in the squad.
Yeah, no, that's what I said. I said my guy, my personal favorite, is not in the squad.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But Blackadder's been more injured than bloody Kane has, so that's my only thing I have against him. You can't.
But he's there. He's there. So, like, if Sam Kane was injured, Blackadder's available. And that's all you wanted somebody to do all day was just get around the park, hit people as hard as you can, and just cause a ruckus.
Yeah, pretty much. Actually, now easy that guy. I think about it, Blackadder's the perfect. I'll just pretend like he's.
All right. Let's try this again then, eh? Should we try it again?
No, one, two, three.
Blackadder. Come on, Felix. Join me. Join the dark side.
No, I'm with you. But right. I have serious concerns about his health. Class player.
All right. Yeah. Last one. I'm going off to Argentina with Emiliano Borfelli. And I want to talk about his goal kicking. Now, it's pretty clear his goal kicking was pretty crucial in the win over Wales.
Yeah.
If you look at the highlight reel, it's just Borfelli's face popping up every 2 minutes, every 30 seconds of him kicking a goal. Not really the highlight reel that you would use for a sales package to sell rugby, but anyway, but say he's not there, do you trust who do you trust in the Argentina team with the T, do you think?
Well, because their reserve first five, Nicolas Sanchez, came on, scored a try, and he took over the kicking duties. So I'm gonna go with him.
But can Sanchez kick those long range goals? I mean, Buffelli's, he's like the Argentinian Jordy Barrett.
pretty
just not as good. He's just as big and can kick, but
I think he's got a better boot, but the overall package I'd lean towards Geordie.
Yeah.
I reckon who's got the biggest boot is bloody Australia's Reece Hodge. That guy clears it. Like you know, when someone's lining up a 50 plus meter kick. And it just sort of dribbles over the post. Reece Hodges' one just goes
still going up.
Bro, past, it just goes dead. That's crazy.
It's sickening, eh? Boffelli, the only thing going against him at the moment is just his age. I think he's probably on his way out, but they've probably kept him for his experience and because he's so good at the kicking goals. I say if he doesn't kick goals, he's not in that squad. Tell me I'm wrong. Maybe I should have put that there, but
maybe he runs the plays. Maybe chuck him in our first five.
Well, he doesn't light things up on the wing. Let's be honest. He's a great maybe crossfield kicking option. But he's not gassing people with speed. He's not breaking tackles like Alistair Fanganuku. So what is he doing? He's kicking goals. That's it. He's a safe defensive option, maybe.
Yeah, I've wanted to pick him so many times on my fantasy team, but I'm just like, you don't do anything else besides kick goals. I can't justify that.
I did early on thinking that he would kick goals. I think around one I might have selected him. But and we talked about it last week. They weren't lighting anything up early on.
Yeah,
so I haven't selected any Argentinians since, I don't think. So it's going to be hard this weekend because I'm going to have to pick a few, I think, with the way it's worked out. Hey, look, Felix, that wraps me up for if not him, then who? So well done, mate. You've passed the test. I was very surprised. I always get very nervous when I make statements about Northern Hemisphere teams. I know we talked about this last week, but I know when you ask me, my heart rate goes up and my brain's scrambling. I'm like, shit. Who's this guy? Who's Marcus Smith? Who's Owen Farrell?
Okay. Well, you know, as we sort of look into the future and begin to wind down this episode, I'll keep it nice and simple for you. And I'll stay away from the Northern Hemisphere. So you get the pleasure of predicting the first semi-final. Argentina versus New Zealand. There's only one right answer.
There's only one choice. New Zealand.
Yeah. And by how much?
You know what? I reckon it's going to be 30... to maybe 15.
Ooh, okay. Yep.
Maybe first half will be 12, 18 or something like that. Yeah. But definitely, if you watch back at the Welsh game, there's some serious question marks about their defense around the ruck.
Yeah.
Two tries came from around the ruck. So come on, Cam Roygaard. This is your moment, mate.
And now's the time to play those kind of guys.
Yeah.
You know, Damian McKenzie's probably going to get a start. Does Mark Talia come back into the team? All these sort of questions. And, they're playing that sort of chess game with South Africa that they can afford to put out, A-minus team. Let's be honest. Not quite a B team. I imagine Sam Whitelock and Aaron Smith, and they'll probably roll out Dane Coles to start.
Hopefully. Bring the niggle.
Just to give guys a different look, but also maintain those sort of standards. So I kind of like that scoreline, 15, 17 point spread. Not bad.
Look, I mean, defensively, I think Argentina are sitting at 72% tackle success rate. So second half.
Oh.
It will blow out. Second half.
Not a bleak look if you're not a good look if you're if you're Argentina.
Oh, new country.
You know what I'm doing? I've got the screen like on a different desktop. And so every time I swipe over, I can only see like the first half of New Zealand. And then Argentina. I'm just making it up. How about England and South Africa?
England, SA. You go first.
I originally had South Africa dominating England, but what's interesting about both these teams is they can play sort of that grinded out style of footy, which we'll probably see for like the majority of the first half, if not the entire first half. Like, expect a scoreline like 9-3. Leading into halftime.
Boring.
I know.
Average Sunday for us.
And then it's gonna open up. I think what's gonna happen is maybe South Africa gets like a one try lead. England try force their hand. They'll probably feel like they're too far behind, that they need to score tries and turn down the penalties. They'll make a mistake, and then South Africa score another try. That's kind of how I see it. I don't see South Africa scoring more than three tries. But if I had to put a score line on it, I don't know, maybe late 20s, early 30s, 18-20 to England.
No,
South Africa. So like South Africa is going to score... something like 29, 30, 31, 32 points. And England will probably get like 18 or 20. So more like a 10, 12 point spread.
Oh.
To South Africa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so okay. So you are going to South Africa.
I am going to South Africa. What about you?
Yeah. I'm going to South Africa 100%. I reckon that South Africa, they have played so many styles of rugby over the last 2-3 years. That England won't even know what to do. England, yeah. So they're going to have to gamble on, I guess it would depend on who South Africa select, which might give you a bit of an idea of what sort of game plan they're going to play. Mm. But you saw in the weekend, they started with Manny Lubbock, and then they brought on Pollard. And reading some reports, or even, I think I was listening to some other pods around, I think the justification around that was they wanted to make sure that they can kick 100% of their goals. And we've talked a bit about that actually in the past. Like, you know, when teams have a fantastic goal kicker, it can just set them up.
Yeah.
Just, you know, so nicely for the win. And it sort of worked in their favor. But South Africa will probably want to slow the game down, go at their pace, you know, drain them out physically, bring on the bomb squad and close the game out at the end there. If England try the same thing again, where they only use four forward runners, well, guess what's going to happen? They're just going to line them up. As soon as they see Mara Toje or Courtney Laws, you know, just run at them and go for them, because then it's not going anywhere else. Duh.
Yeah. And South Africa is going to have a fresh set of forwards in the second half anyway.
Yeah.
While the English guys get overworked and overused and tired. It's not a good recipe there, eh?
No, and I honestly, a Marcus Smith, if they play him at fullback again, that only screams trouble for me. Yeah. South Africa they are probably more physical than the Fijians. I know Fijians are pretty physical, but South Africa are pretty, next level. So South Africa, mate, all day.
Okay, I like it.
Do I need to score? I'm pretty on par with you, mate. 18 points for England. All penalties and drop goals.
There goes my super kicker.
not a bad shout. Yeah. Not a bad shout. So, talking about boosters, are you considering using any of them? I mean, you want to use one of them.
That's what I forgot to mention. Last week, I used my defensive captain on the Welsh Jack Morgan.
Oh, how'd that go? Because he actually got 22 tackles, eh?
Yeah, he got it. And two turnovers. So,
yeah.
Yeah, pretty great stoked. Day. Like, but it was either him or Artie. It was just that Artie scored, like, he had more running stats.
Right. Yeah.
But, like, I think they're pretty much the same sort of defensive stats. So
I don't think there was many others that you probably could have selected, actually, for that.
Sam Kane would have been good.
Oh, yes.
Because he got two turnovers, 22 tackles, no interceptions. Who else lit it up? I think Ben Earl got like 12 tackles. This is testing my knowledge. But Adi and Jack Morgan were like easily the best defensive options.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just looking at the top point scorers. Ben Earl, definitely. But that might be from a running point of view. I know he got one turnover.
No, it doesn't say here that he did.
Oh, okay. What game was I watching then? Vilimone Mata?
But he was a running option, not a defensive option.
Mm.
So, yeah. Pretty happy with the defensive captain last week. Yeah. kicker and triple captain. So I think I might pull out the kicker one this weekend. We'll see.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do as well. Maybe that triple captain would be good to save for the bronze final that you talked about, where no one's going to be going for kicking. They're just going to be wanting to score tries and have fun.
Yeah, but Argentina and England are trash. They got to score tries first.
Yeah, that's true. You're going to have to be like real good at selecting. Who would you select, though?
Because getting ahead of myself there. They're going to be in the bronze final.
Oh, yeah, true. Okay, let's not talk about it right now. It could be New Zealand, then we'll be happy days when it comes to fantasy. But like, let's go.
We can afford to be a little bit overconfident in the podcast after such an emphatic win over Ireland. Yes, we've got to move into this week and focus on Argentina, aka Argentina.
As known here on the pod.
Yeah. Overall, I think people may be expecting a bit of a lull after last week's high. I think the intensity is going to be the same, but semi-finals, unfortunately, historically, don't tend to be high scoring affairs. Keep that in your mind. Support whatever team you're going for. Make your fantasy picks accordingly, and don't forget to join us this weekend. We got something special for you. We'll be down in Christchurch. Actually, we'll be watching the games live, joined with a massive group of All Black supporters, and we're going to go live and just get the thoughts, the raw passion, the banter, obviously, of a whole bunch of dudes talking code. So please, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Describe how awesome we are.
The podcast. And then subscribe.
Yeah, and less than 100 words, how awesome we are. That would be very much appreciated. But for tonight, that wraps us up. And I'm so looking forward to next week, where we get to talk about New Zealand's journey into the final. Let's go!
Let's get it! Now, bring on the semis.